I just wanted to begin by mentioning the passing of a member of our Shir. Chazal tell us that when Meis Echab and the Chabura, Yidagu call a Chabura, when a member of the Chabura passes away, everybody in the Chabura should be fearful. Rabbi Feldman is a member of the Shir, certainly, I know from my vantage point, since the time that I began giving Shir. And he was always a wonderful presence to have, sharing, I would say, the repository, being a repository of traditions from many from generations ago, at least from my vantage point. And he will be missed. And this shir this morning is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas, Rav Avram, Chaim Baruch, Ben Yosef, Eliezer, Besara Mendel. May his memory be a blessing for all of us, and may be a schos for all of us.
Amen.
Now, we left off literally on the top of Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. And I know that Lenny, I believe, sent you the sheets. So you'll, if you're not in person, you don't have a physical sheet, you should have the digital version of the topic that I wanted to really explore this morning that emerges from the Gemara, which is the question of eating before davening. Now, when we speak about eating before davening, so usually we think of Shacharis. Those who are familiar with the halacha, is that if you haven't davened Shacharis in the morning when you get up, you're not supposed to eat until you actually daven, unless it's necessary, unless you're not strong enough, you're too weak. So we assume that one is obligated to daven before one eats. Drinking water is okay. Drinking black coffee is certainly okay. You know, the Mishnah Berurah is lean for people who need a little bit of something in it because they can't drink it otherwise and they need it to function. But fundamentally speaking, we don't eat before we daven. Now, the source for that really is different than what we're going to explore today. The Gemara quoted, we saw earlier, Lo Sochlu Al Adam. And Lo Sochlu Al Adam is a verse coming up in a few weeks, two weeks after Pesach, Parshas Kedoshim, which probably is some type of prohibition of divination. It's not clear exactly what Lo Sochlu Al Adam means. Not to eat on the blood, literally. There's a story in Sefer Shmuel where in the battle against the Plishtim, when they're victorious, but the people are really hungry because Shaul, made them basically imposed an oath upon them not to eat that whole day. So at the end of the day, you can imagine they were really hungry, and the people were chotin lechol al adam. They were somehow eating on the blood. It's not clear what that was, but there are a number of different interpretations that the Gemara in Sanhedrin offers to explain what the verse means. I believe we did this a while back. I don't remember how long ago. And then our Gemara in Brachos earlier offers a totally different explanation, which should not be regarded as a din d'oraisa, not as a scriptural law, but rather as some kind of asmachta, a rabbinic prohibition, but sort of dressed up using a pasuk. And that was that lo sochlu kodem shetispavlu al dimchem. You should not eat before you pray over your soul, over your life, you know, for your welfare. So when it comes to Shacharis in the morning, there's a sort of a separate prohibition specifically related to eating before davening. But what we're going to explore relates to a different question, which is, in generally speaking, when you have a mitzvah to do, you're supposed to pick up a lulav and esrog in the morning of Sukkot. You're supposed to hear Tkiya Shofar. So in general, when you have a mitzvah to do, you're not supposed to engage in other things until you do that mitzvah. That's a general, generally speaking, we say that when a mitzvah has a time frame in which it must be done, but not after that, within a time frame, you can do it at any time, but we say usually zrizim makdim on the mitzvahs, ideally you should do it as soon as possible. And with respect to certain mitzvahs, it seems that there is some kind of a prohibition of doing, getting involved in projects, getting oneself involved in a project where one could in fact fail to do the mitzvah. So our Gemara, so that is more relevant, really. We're going to explore the question of Mincha. Not going to talk about Maariv, but the same issue may apply to Maariv, but even more so when it comes to Maariv. And the issue that we're really talking about is eating, more than anything else, eating before davening Mincha, eating before davening Maariv. And the reason why it becomes particularly complicated in our context, but in many contexts, is that if one is not going to daven with a minyan, then it's pretty straightforward that one should not eat. Depending on the time frame we're going to explore that, one should not eat before davening mincha. One should certainly not eat before davening maariv. If you come home and you're going to have dinner and you're not going to be davening in a minyan and you haven't davened yet, so then you should daven before you eat. That, I think, is unquestionably clear. Isaac?
I think that among the reasons about not eating before davening is because of the carbon, the early morning carbon, that there was an inyan that the Kohanim could not eat before they bore the morning carbon.
I am not familiar with such a source. I always like to say that lo yadati ein oraya, that I don't know doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. That would be news to me. I'm not familiar with such a source. I'm certainly pretty sure the Mishnayos don't talk about the Kohanim eating one way or the other. Remember also that once upon a time, today I think breakfast wasn't really, not the way we would define breakfast, I think, wasn't really a thing. They generally had two meals a day. One was in the morning, although it tended to be, you know, somewhat later in the morning, maybe, you know, four, although it may not be so different than us, maybe 4 hours into the day. What's that? Okay, yes, Aruchat Esser might be a closer thing, and then they would eat a meal before they went to sleep. You know, at the beginning of nightfall, which we saw at the beginning of the Masechta, when they talk about what is the time that people eat to enter their meals, and the relationship between that and what the time you're supposed to read Kriya Shema is. So they had two meals. So I suspect that breakfast and eating before the Tamid, Isaac, was probably not a thing, since the Tamid was brought really, really early in the morning. But I don't know. If you do find the source, I would appreciate seeing it. Well, no, that's the drasha that I quoted before of Lo Sochlu Al Hadam, Lo Tochlu Achitispalulu Al Dimchem. So that I think would be the source, but I don't know that that's related to the Karbanos per se. Okay, so that's the question we want to explore. I'm going to start with actually the Gemara is dealing on the top of Chaf Chesam and Beis, literally the beginning of the page. Of Rav Avia is dealing with the question of davening, eating before you daven Musaf, and the Gemara says the following: Rav Avia cholash. Rav Avia, the Amora, was a little bit weak. Velo us on the Pirkei de Rab Yosef, he wasn't able to come to Rav Yosef's drasha. Rav Yosef was the chacham who was giving the public drasha. The way Rashi describes it, that they would go to shul, they would daven shachris, then they would go to wherever the place the drasha was given. It apparently was not given in shul. I like to jokingly say that, you know, talking in shul is generally inappropriate. Maybe rabbis should pay attention to that as well. I'm only joking when I say that. Giving the drasha, you know, if you don't want people to talk, you have to lead by example. But apparently they would go elsewhere. They would go elsewhere to give the drasha, and then they would come back to the Beis HaKnesses, to the shul, to daven musaf. That's what they would do. So Rav Avi apparently did not come to the drasha. Lemachar ki asa, when he came to, I guess, the Beis Medrash the next day, I presume that was, it was on Shabbos, so now it's Sunday. Ba'a Abaye la'anuche daite de Rabbi Yosef. Abaye, Rabbi Yosef, although I don't know how he knew, somehow Rabbi Yosef would have known that Rav Avia wasn't there. And Abaye wanted to make sure that Rabbi Yosef didn't harbor prejudice and wasn't upset again. And the reason against Rabbi Yosef not coming to the drasha, right? If someone didn't show up, you know, to my shir on Sunday morning, and I, you know, some people feel the need to tell me before, and I don't take offense. First of all, I like to assume that sometimes people have better things to do than listen to me. But more significant, more honestly, I understand that people sometimes have commitments, but sometimes people will say, I want to just apologize in advance, I'm not going to be there. So Abaye was basically trying to do this for Rav Avia, you know, post facto with Rav Yosef. Now, I say that somehow Rav Yosef knew Rav Avia wasn't there, but I'm not sure how, because Rav Yosef was blind. Two of the famous blind Amorim were Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. So how Rav Yosef knew that Rav Avia wasn't there, I don't know. Maybe because Rav Avia always asked questions. They're not allowed to ask questions in the drasha. You don't want to embarrass the rabbi. That's sort of something we find. So I don't know how Rav Yosef knew he wasn't there. But somehow Abaye thought that Rav Yosef was aware that Rav Avia wasn't there, and therefore he wanted Rav Yosef to realize that it wasn't out of malice. It wasn't because he didn't want to hear Rav Yosef, because he wasn't feeling well. So Lamachar, the next day, so Amar Lei, the third line, my time elo asamar lepirkar. Abaye says to Rav Avia, presumably in Rav Yosef's earshot, why didn't the master not come to the drasha yesterday? So Amar Lei, the hava chalish li boy, velo matzina. I was feeling weak, and I wasn't able to. I wasn't able to come. So Amar Lei, Abaye said to him, amai lo ta'amta mi divasis. Why didn't you have a little bit to eat? Have some coffee, have a donut. And then you'll feel well enough in order to come. So Amar Lei, Rav Avia said to Abaye, Lo Savar Larma Lahod de Rav Huna, do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not accept Rav Huna's statement? The Amar Rav Huna, Oser Lo La Adam Sheyitom Klum Kodem Sheyispalo Tvila Samasafen. You're not allowed to taste anything. Now this is crucial. It's not that you're not allowed to eat a meal. You're not allowed to eat food, anything, you want to have, you know, we want to have, you know, a couple of peanuts. You're not allowed to do that before you daven musaf. So Amar Le Abaye said to him, the second of the medium with lines in the Gemara, Ibaye Le Lamar, Litzayulets Lusa de Musaf and Biyachid. So the master should have daven musaf privately, don't daven with a tzibur. And then the Litomidi Ulamese, then come and then have a little bit to eat, and then you come. So Amar Le, the Ravia said to Abaye, Velo Safar Lamar, Lahata Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asur Lola Adam, Sheyachtim Tfiloso Litfilas Atzibur. You're not allowed to daven before the tzibur. And what Rav Avia understood, the Gemara is about to qualify this. Rav Avia understood this to mean, Rav Yochanan's statement, that if the tzibur is davening musaf at 11 o'clock, let's say the drasha was at 10:15, you're not allowed to daven musaf before 11 o'clock, even if you're davening on your own. Even if you're davening on your own. And there certainly is a concept that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that even if a person cannot go to shul, they cannot daven with a minyan, they should try to daven at the same time that tzibur is davening. So if you can't make it to Sunday morning davening in shul, and you'll be in shir on Zoom, so if you're davening shachas in the morning, you should try to daven at 8:30. More relevant would be to know how long does it take the KJ minyan to get to Shmon Esrei, because the tefillah that you want to daven together with the community is Shmon Esrei. Pesukei Vezemer is important to daven. Birchas Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema are certainly obligatory, but tefillah with the tzibur means davening, starting your Amidah with them. So I don't know how long, when does KJ get to the Amidah? I'm sure it's, you know, pretty relatively fixed.
Of getting that? No.
Okay, but you know, I presume if it's a 32-minute minyan, it's probably about 16 or 17 minutes in or so is when the shul will get to tefillah. So you should aim to daven your tefillah. You should aim to be at Gal Yisrael at 8:46. That would be if you were davening on your own. So, Rav Avia says to Abaye, you're not allowed to daven early. You can't be makdim. You can't have your tefillah be first. So Amar Le, Abaye responded to Rav Avia, Lav Itmar Allah, Amar Rabbi Abba, B'tzibur Shanu. That's only true B'tzibur. It means if I'm davening in shul, I come to shul for 8:30 minyan on Sunday morning, and I'm more in a rush, and the tzibur is still in Berachas Kriya Shema, I'm not allowed to start tefillah. It is inappropriate that the tzibur is davening then, I'm davening separately. But if I'm davening at home, while there still is what we would say in Indian, it's still a good idea to daven the same time, he wouldn't say you're not allowed to daven earlier than the tzibur. You are allowed to daven earlier than the tzibur. So Abaye said, you should have davened earlier. It's not like you couldn't daven before the tzibur because you weren't davening musaf with them. It's not that you're in the same room. They're saying yikum porkan, and you're davening already the amid of musaf. No, you're davening at home, so you daven when you daven. You should have davened at home, musaf. You could have had your coffee and a donut, and then you could have come to the shir. That's what Abaye said, and that's sort of the end of the story. It's kind of interesting because the truth is that the story, the back and forth dialogue at a certain point from the vantage point of the original story is kind of unnecessary. Why Abaye couldn't just say to Rabbi Yosef, you know, Rebbe, if you're wondering why Rabbi wasn't there, it's because he had a reason to be, but maybe he had to first ask him or something. I'm sure Abaye knew there was a good reason he wasn't, but instead you get into this whole back and forth and tit for tat, you know, don't you know, which we do learn the halacha, but it wasn't necessary for the story. As soon as Rabbi Avia said, Chalash li bai, I wasn't feeling well, that presumably was enough for Rabbi Yosef. So anyway, so now the Gemara says in conclusion, so what the Gemara has presented so far, but may not, all of it will not stand in the conclusion, is that number one, Rav Huna said you're not allowed to taste, you're not allowed to even have any food to eat, not a meal, just even a little bit to eat before Musaf, and Rav Yochanan said you're not allowed to start your Amida of a Tfilah when you're in with the Tzibur, when you're with the community before they actually start. Now, the first one particularly has significant ramifications. I don't know what Minhag KJ is, but there are many shuls, I know this is true at YU actually, that they take a short break before Tekiyah Shofar. And anybody who wants to make Kiddush and have a cookie to eat or something like that, because davening is pretty long, so they will do that. Now, if the Gemara here as presented were to stand, you wouldn't be allowed to do that, because you haven't davened Musaf yet. Right, because you're doing it because Tekiyah Shofar and Musaf is very long, so it would be prohibited. Now the practice is not uncommon, and there's a reason for that, as we'll see in the next line.
There's also this custom called Kiddush Club. I wouldn't know about it, but
Loyalenu. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. The Les Hilchasa, this is the end of the fourth medium width line, three lines before the Mishnah at the end of the line. The Les Hilchasa, lo kirahuna, we don't paskin like Rahuna. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion we accept. You're not allowed to start your Amida before the Tzibur if you're in the shul. But Rahuna's opinion that you're not allowed to have even a coffee and a donut before you daven, must have that opinion we don't accept. Not correct. It's permissible to engage in te'ima, in having a little bit of food to eat. Presumably, you're not allowed to have a meal. It should be no different than what we're going to explore in Mincha, but to have a little bit to eat, that's okay. And below, not only that, but the Gemara also rejects another statement, even though it wasn't quoted in our Sugya. Velo ki Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. We don't paskin like Rav Huna or like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Ki Rav Huna, says the Gemara, that we don't paskin like Rav Huna, that, what Rav Huna? Hada Amaran, that which we just said four lines ago. In other words, often when the Gemara will do this, when we'll finish a Sugya and we'll say, well, we have three things that we're collecting in a bucket, and these are the three things, so one of them was something that already appeared in on the page, and we'll say Hada Amar, that which we said just before. So that was Rahuna's statement. What about to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi? To Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Kevan shehigi esman tefilas amincha, asur lo la'adam sheyitom klum, kodem sheyispalo tefilas amincha. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said that once mincha comes, that we have to talk about what does it mean for mincha to come, you're not allowed to taste anything. Now there are two minchas, and the question is which was Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi referring to? And from our Gemara, you can't tell. Well, what are the two choices? Choice number one is Mincha Gedola, which is 6.5 hours into the day, which is the first time you are allowed, if you choose, to daven Mincha. The second time is 9.5 hours, which is Mincha Kitana, which is already, I don't want to say the ideal time for Mincha, but if I may reference something we spoke about last week, Mincha Kitana seems to be really the time for Mincha. So what did we talk about last week? So the Gemara had a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If you are at a time, at a point in time in the day where you have two amidas that you need to daven, and that you can daven at that very moment, number one is Mincha, and number two is Musaf. Remember, Mincha, Shachris, Mincha, Marav, definitionally, generally speaking, can never be davened at the same time. Each one has a different time period. I know there's a complicated part about Marav at the, you know, before it gets dark, that we've discussed. But in principle, Shachris has its time period either first 6 hours of the day. Mincha is from 6.5 hours into the day until the end of the day. And Marav is all night. Right? There's no overlap. But there's only one situation in which we have two tefillos that stand in front of us that we could do at the same time, at this one moment in time we could do, and we have to choose between them, which is Musaf and Mincha. Now, Musaf and Shachris also is true, but it's pretty obvious there, you daven Shachris, but Musaf, nobody would actually consider disputing that, because Shachris is supposed to be the first thing you do. Ideally, you do it right after sunrise. And Shachris, of course, is going to come before Musaf, because Shachris stands for the tumid of the morning in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was brought, like, you know, right after, I mean, not after daybreak, but literally by sunrise, not much later than that. And Musaf was brought by definition after you brought the carbon tumid. You're not allowed to bring any carbon before you bring the tumid of the morning. So obviously, if you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning in shul, you have Shachris to daven and you have Musaf to daven, of course you daven Shachris first. Nobody's going to even discuss that question. But what happens if you're in a time period when Mincha and Musaf are overlapping? And now, which do you daven first? So the Gemara had quoted a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda's position was that you daven Musaf first. Now, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says you daven Musaf first is because Musaf, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can only be davened until the end of the seventh hour. Mincha starts at 6.5 hours into the day, so you're talking about a 30-minute window, which that's the only time you have left to daven Musaf. You have the rest of the day to daven Mincha. So Rabbi Yehuda says daven Musaf first. The Chachamim, however, believe that Musaf can be davened all day. And therefore, you daven Mincha first, and then you daven Musaf, because Mincha is more tadir. It looks like we're sort of half frozen there. So Rav Chacham say you daven Mincha, then you daven Musaf. But here's the question. What our practice on Yom Kippur, right, as we spoke about in Yom Kippur, by the time we get to Musaf, it's already possible to daven Mincha, right? Musaf, you may not get till 1 o'clock, you know, a time at which you could actually daven Mincha. And yet, I'm sure none of us has ever been to shul on Yom Kippur where they davened mincha before Musaf. That would be almost heresy to do so. So one of the explanations that was offered, it doesn't work in the Bavli, in our Gemara, but it does seem to be what's offered in the Yerushalmi, is that that the Chachamim who say that you daven mincha and then you daven Musaf is only if you're talking about mincha ketana. If it's already 9.5 hours into the day, then mincha will precede Musaf. But if it's only 6.5 hours into the day, even though you can daven mincha, even the Chacham would agree you still daven Musaf first. Why? So we it's clear our Gemara, as Tosis points out, cannot accept, it doesn't work in our Gemara. Our Gemara clearly assumes that even after 6.5 hours, if you have mincha and you have Musaf, you daven according to the Chacham and mincha first. But the Yerushalmi suggested that the Chacham's position was only at 9.5 hours, only at mincha ketana. Only at that point do we say mincha musaf daven mincha first. But if it's earlier, even though you can daven mincha, still daven musaf first. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the primary zman of mincha is really at 9.5 hours and going forward. Even though you can daven mincha earlier, nonetheless, the ideal time of mincha, the ikar time of mincha, is at 9.5 hours. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position is, we will see, that you're not allowed to even taste anything. You can't have, a coffee and a donut. When mincha time comes, that is mincha ketana. Even he would agree that the mincha gedola, it would be okay. Meaning at 7 hours into the day, certainly to have coffee and a donut would be acceptable. Even Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would permit that. So the Gemara says, we don't hold like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It means that even at 10.5 hours into the day, and you haven't done mincha yet, so you better get going, but you want to have a donut first, that's okay. Right? As we'll see in a second, a meal is of some variety is probably not okay. But having a snack, being to'aim, tasting a little bit, that would be okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
A meal meaning bread.
We'll have to let's say bread. Let's say it may not just be bread, it may be a certain amount. In other words, to have to wash to wash Netilas Yadayim, I thought you need to be eating either the Kazayas or a Kabeitza, but certainly a Bracha Rishona you need you need to eat at least a Kazayas to make Berachas HaMazon, but that's not necessarily what we might consider a meal. I think the better way to define a meal is, what if you were eating donuts? And if you eat enough donuts, it has to be Entenmann's donuts, not Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts are fried. You can eat, I'm not advising so, but you can eat 20 Dunkin' Donuts and you will still make a mazon or sonal mechia. But let's say you have Entenmann's donuts, which are baked. So Entenmann's donuts, if you're going to eat probably a whole box of donuts or even less than that, and that's going to be your lunch, you wash and mehamotzi, and you bench afterwards. That's what we call pas habavikistin. So it's a suda. So when in the topic of pas habavikistin, which God willing, it'll be a number of months away, but we will get to when we do the sixth parak of brachos. By pas habavikistin is a certain minimum amount. Eating a kizayi, what's that? The term is pas habavikistin. It's dessert bread. That's the best way to describe it. It would come at the end of the meal. They'd have like roasted wheat kernels or nuts with it. We would call it dessert. So if you eat enough of pas habavikistin, and we will define that, Josh, when we get there. There's a technical definition. How do you decide something is not real bread? It's pas habavikistin.
What do the literal words mean? What's kistin?
Kistin, I think, are roasted, are klayos, Rashi says, are roasted kernels of grain, which, like, are sweet, and they're kind of snacks. So
sugar
pas. Pas, yes, I guess. Pas, I don't think they were adding sugar, but yes. But yes, they were already sweeter, so pas habavikistin is the term. The bread that comes along with the kistin, that's dessert bread. So by pas habavikistin, Zella, we talk about how much you have to eat, 3 kibbutzim, 4 kibbutzim. You have to be something that you would call kiviya suda, having really a meal on it. So that's, I think, the difference between te'ima. I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to explore. I didn't see it talked about in Shharaf. What if you're going to have a bread, but a tiny amount of bread? I don't know that that's prohibited according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I don't know if that defines the for our context. Okay, so anyway, so bottom line is the Gemara here says we reject Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position. That's very nice. It comes out a little bit out of left field. I mean, the reason why the Gemara says we reject it here, because we're rejecting Rav Huna, who prohibits te'ima, tasting a little bit, just before Musaf. So we quote Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who prohibits te'ima before davening mincha. That was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position. Okay. So where is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position affect originally, and what are our restrictions, limitations when it comes to minchas? So if you take a look in the source sheet, so the Mishnah in Shabbos, which is the second source, states the following. Lo yeshiv. Yes.
I just want to make sure I got it in my head. So you daven mincha and musaf early ish in the morning. You're then allowed before 12:30 to have a meal.
You're saying if you daven
mincha. I don't understand. Like how do you do lunch?
Sorry. You daven shachar and musaf, and you want to start your lunch at, let's say, 12 o'clock, where it's too early to daven mincha. You can start whatever meal you like.
And you have to finish before 12:30?
No. I didn't say that. If it's with... Well, the Mishnah is about to explore that, so let's read the Mishnah. We'll try this with guidelines. There's a difference between starting and stopping, meaning there may be times you're not supposed to start. But if you did, you may not have to stop. And if you started certainly in a way that was permissible, it might all the more likely it is the case you don't have to stop.
But if you dilly dally at shul and you get home 12:40 on a regular day, then you're not allowed to start your lunch until you daven and mincha.
According to one opinion, yes. But let's explore.
Okay.
Let's explore. The Mishnah in Shabbos, the second source on the sheet, says the following. Lo yeshiv adam lefnei hasapar samuch lemincha ad sheyispalo. You're not allowed to sit down in front of the barber. That's what a sapar is. Samuch lemincha. Samuch is usually defined as a half an hour before. Within a half an hour of mincha time, you're not allowed to sit down in front of the barber until you daven mincha first. Lo yikones adam lemerchatz. A person is not allowed to enter the bathhouse. Now, you can ask the question, what is our analog? Would our shower be the same thing? And the answer is probably not. Velo la bursaki. A bursaki is a tannery to work on hides. Velo lechol, this is the one that really gets us, is not to eat. Velo la din. If you're a dayan, if you're a judge, you're not allowed to start judgment. Samuch la mincha. Half an hour before mincha time, you're not allowed to start those activities. But v'im hischilu, let's say you ignored the halacha, you made a mistake, you ignored it. Ein mafsikin, you don't have to stop. We're assuming here it means that by the time you expect to finish your activity, you will still have time for mincha. If the activity you started is one which you will not finish before the time for mincha will pass, then you're not allowed to continue, you have to stop right now. Even though you could stop in 30 minutes from now, an hour from now, you're still not allowed to continue. Only if, you anticipate being able to finish your activity before the time for mincha will expire, then you don't have to stop right now. Then the Mishnah says, which is a little bit enigmatic, mafsikin l'kriya shma ve'mafsikin l'tfila. You stop in order to recite kriya shma, you don't have to stop to recite tfila. It seems to be out of place in this Mishnah because we're talking about mincha. There is no kriya shma ve'mincha. And the Gemara will explain that this refers to something else, not our case. So we're going to ignore this and just accept the fact that you're not allowed to start these activities half an hour before mincha, but if you did, you don't have to stop. So now the Gemara in Shabbos asks the question, Hey, samuch lemincha, which mincha are we talking about here? Mincha gedola, meaning starting with 6 hours, half an hour before 6.5, or mincha kitana, so which would be 9 hours, half an hour before 9.5. So the Gemara says, Ilema lemincha gedola, if the Mishnah is telling you you're not allowed. And let me just add one more qualification here. There are three kinds of meals there are three kinds of eatings that one can have. Possibility one is your coffee and a donut. That's a snack. That's what we call ti'ima. Possibility two is a normal su'uda. And possibility three is a su'uda gedola. A normal su'uda might be the lunch or probably dinner you'll have today. A suda for a nisuin, a wedding meal, maybe even a bris milah, that the Rishonim will say, that's a suda gedola. It's a suda gedola. So the Gemara here right now is assuming we're talking about a suda kitana. In other words, lechol doesn't mean to taste. It means achil. It really means to eat. But it doesn't mean you're not having a fancy meal. You're not having an extensive meal. You're going to eat lunch. You're going to eat your dinner. That's what lechol means. So the Gemara says, if you're talking about samuch la mincha gedola, that once... once 12 o'clock, you know, solar noon, and a 66 day has arrived, you're not allowed to eat your, you know, regular lunch meal on night low. Why not? Ha'ika shows b'yom tuba. You have plenty of time. How long is your meal going to stretch on? And even if you're scrolling through Twitter or whatever else during that meal, presumably you'll be finished in 2 hours. If you're not, presumably you'll be finished in a lot less than that. So why would it be prohibited? Ella, it must be samach l'mincha ketana. Mincha ketana already, it must be that at, starting at 9 hours into the day, starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you are not allowed to start your you know, regular meal, because that already is much closer to sunset, and you could sort of lose track of time and wind up missing mincha. So if that is the case, if what the Mishnah is telling us is you're not allowed to begin a regular meal at 9 hours into the day, samach l'mincha ketana, but if you started when you weren't supposed to, you do not need to stop. You can finish your meal, however long that takes, and I'm going to add in, even though it's not said right now, that you will have enough time to, you'll be able to daven mincha afterwards. You do not have to stop. You can continue eating. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, neimah, should we say, tehevei tiyufta the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? It should be a rejection of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kevan shi'igi azman tfilas amincha, asr la'adom shi'yitom klum, kodem shi'yispal tfilas mincha. Right, that was what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. We saw in the Gemara Brachos that once mincha time comes, he doesn't say samach mincha, but it doesn't really matter. Once mincha time comes, you are not allowed to put food in your mouth until you daven mincha. Aser l'tom klum. So even if one, at the very least, if the Mishnah says in hischilei mafsikim, if you prohibit in a prohibited fashion, you started eating, now to continue eating afterwards, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Of course it's prohibited. In fact, the simple interpretation is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would hold, not only if you started in a manner that you weren't allowed to. Let's say you started at 8.5 hours into the day, before samach l'mincha, where you're allowed to start eating a regular meal, and your meal takes you to 10 hours into the day. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as soon as the time of mincha comes, you have to stop eating. You're not allowed to put another morsel of food in your mouth. Because asr la'adam litom klum, kevin shi'igia shtas mincha, asr la'adam litom klum, ad she'yispal tfilas mincha. So the Gemara says, "Lo, it doesn't. You don't have to read the Mishnah this way." Again, the attempted reading of the Mishnah was a regular meal mincha ketana. The Gemara says, "La olam samach l'mincha gedola." Mishnah is actually not speaking about one way or the other. It's not telling us anything about mincha ketana and a regular meal. It's talking about mincha gedola, and what? Why would it be prohibited? After all, you have all day. The answer is uva tispores ben elosa. When we talk about sitting in front of the barber, it doesn't mean I'm going for my haircut. You know, my haircut takes 10 minutes or less at the barber. This is Tisporus ben Alasa. I think Rashi says he was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's son-in-law, and I don't know if he was a Kohen, but apparently the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol in particular, but I think the Kohanim was supposed to have their hair cut in a particular way. The Navi Yecheskel says, Kasom yichsemu es rashehem. Don't ask me exactly what that means, but probably kasom means something about cutting their hair. So it was a very, very fancy kind of haircut. And Rebbe's son-in-law spent a lot of money investing in trying to, there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore, to study and to teach this particular form of haircutting. So it's called Tisporas Ben Alasa. And that haircut doesn't take 5 minutes. That haircut may take, you know, 6 hours, because it's, you know, a really fancy haircut. So that's what you're not allowed to do. You know, Samuch L'mincha Gedola. And then v'lo l'merchatz, l'chula milson l'merchatz, not just for a quick shower, but really you're going to be, you're going to do everything. You're going to do a full spa treatment. And v'lo l'bursaki gedola, you're entering a big bursaki, and based upon the Gemara's comments later, it means you're starting from scratch. You have a big hide, you're going to tan this hide. It could take a long time. You're not just going to touch up some hides or to check out matters and, you know, fix a little here and a little there. V'lo lecho b'suda gedola. Okay, you're talking about, you're Dunkin' Donuts breakfast, or even if you had 3 donuts and you call it a suda. We're talking about, a wedding meal. And finally, v'lo l'din b'tchilas din. It's not a case where, you know, where you basically heard the arguments and now you're sitting down to engage, the judges are engaged in shaka v'taya to decide the ruling. But rather, we're talking about starting a new case. And, you know, a new case can drag on and everybody gets excited and everybody gets into it, and then everybody loses track of time. And then you miss Zman. Now, I want to make one observation here. Yes.
If Dunkin' Donuts are fried, how do they ever constitute a
suda? Okay, I'm sorry. Entenmann's Donuts. You happy now? I misspoke here. I don't know if Marshall was trying to clarify or just needle me a little bit. Either way, it's okay.
He wanted us to know he was here.
No, no, okay, so you know, Marshall, you do have to earn that, actually. So
now you're doubling down.
It's getting worse for me. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says that's what the Gemara proposes. That was the first approach that was presented. That the Mishnah is speaking about Samach LeMincha Gedola, meaning starting 6 hours, but it's talking about a Suda Gedola. By implication, this first interpretation would say that Samach LeMincha Gedola, a Suda Kitana, a regular meal, is permitted. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Gemara stopped here, what would the halacha be by Mincha Kitana? And a regular Suda. Obviously, if you're not allowed to start a Suda Gedola, already Samoch LeMincha Gedola at 6 hours, you obviously can't start it at 9 hours. But what would be, and a Suda Katana, clearly you can start after 6 hours. Can you start a Suda Katana already after 9 hours, according to this interpretation of the Mishnah?
No.
How do you know that? You have a 50-50 chance. The good news is that both could be right. But I'm going to ask you a question. Not there are two opinions in the Rishonim about this, but in terms of what the Gemara has presented to us, is it compelling to say that it is prohibited to start a Suda Katana after 9 hours based upon what the Gemara has done now?
It wants to make sure you have time to get it done, and if you're on the edge,
a Suda Katana, it's a small meal. I'm pushing on this point because once the Gemara says that the Mishnah is talking about big meals, Mincha Gedola. From the Mishnah itself, you have no idea what the halacha is by Mincha Ketana. There are three possibilities. Possibility one, and all three exist in the Rishonim. Possibility one is that Mincha Ketana, you're allowed to start even a Suda Ketana after Samach LeMincha because it's a small meal. If you have enough time, it's fine. Possibility two is you're not allowed to start a small meal Samach LeMincha Ketana, but if you start it, you don't have to interrupt. And possibility three is you're not allowed to start it, and if you did, you do have to stop. If I started eating at 9 and a quarter hours, so and then I realize, or maybe 9 and a half hours comes, Mincha Ketan itself comes, I have to stop right then. You can't tell from the Gemara, because remember, what forced the Gemara initially in its presentation could have understood, it thought it was reasonable, and this is where you're coming from, the Gemara thought that it was reasonable to say that Samoch LeMincha Ketana, we would prohibit any Suda, even a small Suda. Now that was reasonable, it wasn't crazy. But once the Gemara now deflects things, because they want to avoid clashing with the Rishuv and Levi, once they deflect things to say it's now only Mincha Gedola and a big meal, so now the Mishnah doesn't address the question of Mincha Ketana and a small meal. Now, you'll tell me, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, of course you can't start, although he's talking about not Samach LeMincha, but actually Mincha Ketana. But remember, we don't paschal like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
Rabbi?
Yes.
But isn't the whole purpose that we daven at the right time?
So,
like, the whole purpose of setting up all these times with the meals and all of that is so that what you said earlier was, so maybe you'll forget to daven Mincha or whatever, so.
So leaving aside Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who we clearly don't accept, everybody would agree that you can have your coffee and Dunkin' Donuts after Mincha Ketana time, even though you directly it's already really the time to daven Mincha. So we do permit activities if we don't think they're going to schlep off. So the question, initially the Gemara thought it would be reasonable to read the Mishnah, is that a regular meal could schlep on already at 9 hours.
Yeah.
Now that the Gemara has said that's not what the Mishnah is talking about, now, not for that reason, not because the Gemara has explicitly said that that's ridiculous, why couldn't you eat a small meal? That's not why. It rejected it so as to avoid a clash with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now the question is, now we reject Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara Brachos said explicitly, we don't paschal like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that when Mincha time comes, you can't taste anything. You can. The question is, though, what would we say now about a Suda Ketana, Mincha Ketana. So I think you're both right. Intuitively, when I saw the other opinion, I had to scratch my head. One second, how do you read the Gemara that way? Because initially, when the Gemara presents it, it thought it very reasonable to say, Mincha Ketana, Suda Ketana is prohibited. It only rejected the reading of the Mishnah because it would have clashed with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So instead it says, Suda Gedola and Mincha Gedola. So, but I would have assumed that Suda Katana, already Samach LaMincha Katana, is prohibited. But it's not explicit. And if you reject Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's possible that the Gemara has rejected the entire thing, and the Gemara is not concerned at all about Suda Katana.
So they just put in a little hedge.
What's that?
A little hedge.
Well,
make it hedge.
The point is they don't tell us.
Yeah.
They don't tell us. That's the key. The Gemara initially assumed that might be the case, but now that it's, the Gemara could have, those Rishonim who will say that you are permitted to start a small meal by Mincha Katana, will say the following. When the Gemara initially read the Mishnah in Shabbos, is saying, Samuch l'mincha, Suda Katana, Samuch l'mincha Katana, the Gemara didn't think it was particularly compelling that it should be prohibited, but at least the Gemara thought it wasn't totally unreasonable. Once the Gemara now has a totally different reading of the Mishnah, which is that we're talking about a big meal and even earlier in the day, now the Gemara might think, yeah, come on, Mincha Katana, somebody sits down to have a dinner, they'll be done in 45 minutes, it's not a problem. In other words, the Gemara could have sort of attacked at that angle, but it didn't need to. Because once it has to sort of reread the Mishnah to avoid conflict, or chooses to reread the Mishnah to avoid conflict, or but maybe you never know what the Gemara really holds about Suda Katana by Mincha Katana.
Can we take one step back?
Sure.
It's almost like the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi issue is parallel with what's going on. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that if it's Zman HaMincha, you shouldn't be eating anything. That's a problem on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says Yimitzchilu Imafsikin.
Correct.
That has, to me, at least my understanding, is unrelated to whether it's Mincha Gedola or Mincha Kitana.
No. So that's why I preempted this possibility earlier when I said Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is talking about Mincha Katana. Before we even looked at this Gemara,
how does that fit with the content of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying?
No. The point is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is only. That's why I made the point. I tried to preempt that the Ikar Zman Mincha is Mincha Katana.
Okay.
Mincha Gedola you can daven Mincha, but the real time is Mincha Katana. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would not say Osir Kaven Shigia Mincha Gedola. Osur l'tom kol. That's beyond the bounds of reason.
Why?
Because that's not really Ikar Torah. That's not, what's that? That's only by Shachris. That's once a day. The point is that Mincha Gedola is not the Ikar time of Mincha. You can daven Mincha, but it's not that. In fact, I should ask Rav Shechter about this. I haven't seen anything in Shulchan Aruch, but maybe I'll look more carefully. I once heard him say that we do everything backwards when it comes to davening Mincha. No, maybe not. I'm not sure. I'm going to scratch that thought because I am confused as to which way he presented it. But I think that it's clear if you look at the Rishonim, and it's clear from the Gemara. That's why it's an issue. The Gemara, let me put it to you this way. The Gemara thinks that to solve the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi problem, make the Mishnah be Mincha Gedola. Obviously, the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement was only Kibben Shigia Shasa Mincha means Mincha Katana, because otherwise, what problem have you solved? The Gemara's anchor point is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is speaking about Mincha Katana. And by reinterpreting, so you're right. What was the problem? The problem was in his Chilu Ein Masikin. The Mishnah says you don't have to stop, whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would say you do have to stop.
Right.
So the only way to get around that is the same. We're not talking about Mincha Gedola. We're talking about Mincha Katana. It's not Mincha Gedola. Mincha Gedola, you're not allowed to start a big Suda. If you started a big Suda right before Mincha Gedola, you can continue eating. And you don't have to stop. You don't have to stop, at least, until later in the day you get the Mincha Katana. Then for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you have to stop. But that won't contradict the Mishnah. So the Gemara clearly is assuming Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement about not being to even taste your food after Mincha has come means Mincha Katana. So by the Gemara, reinterpreting the Mishnah, or choosing to interpret the Mishnah as going on Mincha Gedola, the Gemara has solved the problem. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so now the Gemara continues. That was the first approach. The second approach, Rav Achar Bar Yaakov Amar, Li'olam b'tispores didon. No, we're not talking about fancy haircuts. My regular 10-minute haircut. You know why? L'chatchila ma'ilo yeshev. Why are you not allowed before Mincha Gedola? Right? Because we're still working the Mincha Gedola theory. Why are you not allowed by Mincha Gedola to start taking your minor haircut? We're afraid that the barber shears are going to break in the middle, and if they started already, so they've cut half of your hair, and now you can't really go anywhere because you look ridiculous with a half haircut, shaven head or half cut head. And therefore, the barber's running around trying to find, you know, a new pair of shears. But, you know, the supply chain is a little crimped. So he's going from, you know, shop to shop to shop, and time is passing and ticking and ticking and ticking, and then you end up missing the time for mincha. So all these will fall into that category. V'lola merchatz l'hazia ba'alma. Even just, you know, like a steam room, a schwitz. L'chatchila me'alog zem Hashem yisalfa. Maybe you'll faint, and then you'll be passed out, and you won't be able to daven. You know, you're not going to wake up till evening. V'lola bursaki l'iyune ba'alma. Even just to inspect the wares. Why? Why can't you? You'll see something wrong with one of the hides, you say, we got to fix this, and you start working on it. Anybody who's worked on something with your hands, or if you program computers, you do that. You go down that, it's like going, not in a bad way necessarily, you're going down the rabbit hole. Like you just can't, you're so occupied. You get in the zone, and you're totally unaware of the passing of time. And then, you know, because it'll go on, and you'll have another donut, and you'll have another donut, and you'll have a little more, and you know, you spin around schmoozing, and you eat a little bit more, so we're afraid that it will go on. And finally, v'lola din is b'gemar hadin. Even if the arguments have been heard, and you're really at the final stage, and dayanim are coming to a vote, l'chatchila maylo, d'ilma chazitayim v'sasalina, someone is going to, you know, blurt out some reason. They're finally able to articulate why they don't like your opinion, and you say, oh, never mind, we have to start discussing this again, and then the din goes on and on and on. So there are two opinions in the Gemara as to how to interpret the Mishnah. One is that both opinions, as the Gemara leaves it in the conclusion, both opinions, well, I'm going to step back. I was wrong. The Gemara has actually three possible interpretations of the Mishnah. I'm not giving you them in order, see if you know what the third one is, but I'm being a little bit tricky here. First one is, that we're talking about mincha gedola and a big meal, suda gedola. I'm just going to talk about suda. I mean, everything applies for the other four things as well. Mincha gedola and a big meal. The second opinion is mincha gedola, even in a little meal, because it might turn into a big meal. What's the third opinion? Mincha ketana, little meal. The Gemara didn't reject it per se. The Gemara said that we don't have to read it as mincha ketana and the suda ketana, and then having to trash or to reject completely Rosh Hashanah Levi. We could read it the other way. It doesn't mean necessarily that the Gemara has read it the other way. Now, the natural flow of the Gemara, and I think most Rishonim will paskin, that yes, the Gemara does interpret the Mishnah in the end as being mincha gedola. And the only question is, how do you paskin? Like the first approach in the Gemara, that by mincha gedola, only a suda gedola is prohibited? Or even a suda katana, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. That's the question. But theoretically, you could say that the Gemara is only doing this because they're trying to salvage Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But once the Gemara in Brachas tells us we don't paskin like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, so then there's no need to salvage it anymore, and we can just read the Mishnah in a certain sense kipshuto, that it's mincha katana and suda katana. That was an option that remains in place.
Although you could say that we don't paskin like him, but the fact that he says what he said and wouldn't be directly contradicting the Mishnah suggests that that's not what the Mishnah meant.
Yeah, you could say that the Mishnah would agree that a suda katana samoch l'mincha is prohibited, and then you would be left with one very important question: is if ischilu mafsikin, ischilu ein mafsikin. Once you started when you weren't allowed to, you have to stop. You see, the Mishnah only gives us the permission to continue a meal that we weren't supposed to start by the case the Mishnah is talking about. Whatever case the Mishnah is talking about, Suda Gedola by Mincha Gedola, Suda Katana by Mincha Gedola, or Suda Katana by Mincha Katana, that's where the Mishnah says, in Hischilu, once you started, even though you weren't supposed to, Ein Mafsikin. But so if the Mishnah is only...
Because if it is, then Rabbi Shulam Levi never would have said what he said.
Well, you know, some Rishonim thought that we do reject him. We do reject him.
Well, we reject him, but that's different than
and therefore we don't really care. He's got a problem with the Mishnah. That was his problem.
The whole thing was just
that was his problem. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Everything
he wants. Let's first. I feel bad keeping you in suspense. I would have to tell you the Rama's bottom line, but first I want to read Tosfos. Okay? If somehow I don't get there, Isaac, it's the Shulchan Aruch is quoted on the bottom of the sheet. There are actually four opinions. So, Yes, four opinions, I know. It's hard to imagine that. So Tosfos writes, "B'tisporas shel ben alasa." So just remember the structure of the Gemara for a moment. The Gemara had a question. What mincha are we talking about? It did not want to adopt mincha ketana because it didn't want to reject outright Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So now the Gemara has given us two approaches. Mincha gedola, but only a suda gedola, or mincha gedola and even a suda ketana. Those were the two choices. So Tosfos, working within that, says, how do we paskin? So Tosfos, the third source on the sheet, says the following. Nire dehachi hilchasa. He's commenting on the first approach, that it's only tisporas ben alasa, only a big meal that you're not allowed to start. Vishari suda kitana b'mincha gedola ad zman tfila. You're allowed to start a suda kitana by mincha gedola until zman tfila. I assume he means 9.5 hours. Or maybe sabuch le, maybe samuch le mincha gitana. Maybe 9.5 hours, actually. Yeah. Vidafka suda gedola, only a suda gedola, ki go in sudas irisin v'nisuin, a wedding meal, usudas mila, suda for bris mila, aser. Udilo, the psak that Tosfos says that we are giving, is dilo ki rab acha bar Yaakov, who's the second opinion. The osar afilu suda gitana samuch le mincha gitana, the halacha kilishna tama, the stam lon hashas. Tosfos says we paskin like the first line, first lashon in the Gemara, the first version, because the way I read him is the Gemara was anonymous. It didn't present it in anybody's name, right? The Gemara first just gives the answer. It says, oh, we're talking about mincha gedola by tisporas ben alasa, but nobody's talking. There's no name there. It's all anonymous. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is named. So the anonymous shas, Tosfos says, V'Rav Ashi Shehu Basra'o Sider Es HaShas. The anonymous voice in Shas, Tosfos says, is Rav Ashi. V'Hilchos HaKavaseh L'Gabei Rav Acha B'Yakov. When it's a machlokas, Rav Ashi, Rav Acha B'Yakov, we pass like Rav Ashi. I don't know if that's an explicit statement in the Gemara somewhere like that, but that's what Tosfos says. All right, now I'm going to skip over the next two lines where Tosfos theoretically has a proof for this position, but he says it's not a proof. I don't want to get bogged down. So skip to the third full line before from the end of Tosfos. He writes on the second word, Afal gav hashas. Even though our Gemara, ilav de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if not for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement, hava moki la besuda kitana v'samach la mincha kitana, v'im hischilu e mafsikin. If the Gemara had its druthers initially, it would have simply said, suda kitana, mincha kitana, and the halacha is you're not allowed to start, but in his chilu, the Mishnah says, ein mafsikin. So even though that's where the Gemara wanted to go, and v'lo kaimelam k'Rabbi Yishun Levi, we don't pass it like Rabbi Yishun Levi, k'da amar b'perek tefilas ha-shachar, as our Gemara Brachos just said, mikom makom, despite that, kevan demasik stam hashas, since the Gemara concludes, and the anonymous voice, that it's mincha gedola, and suda gedola, since that's the case, hachi mashma, de behod im hischilu mafsikin kaimalan kivase. It sounds like, Josh, David, this is what you wanted to say. It sounds from the Gemara that even though we don't accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement with respect to not being allowed to taste anything, we would still accept his opinion, de im hischilu mafsikin kaimalan kivase. We will paskin that by mincha gedola, you're not allowed to start a suda kitana, a mincha kitana. You're not allowed to start a suda kitana within a half an hour before. And if you did, when mincha kitana comes, you have to stop. V'davka b'had da'amar da'asur litom afilu peiros. You want to have some fruits. Lo kaimelon kibase. Now, something that's not a meal. There we don't pass them like him. But when it comes to in his chilu, if you started a suda kitana, that you would have to stop. There we would paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Tosfos' opinion is that suda gedola, you're not allowed to start by even samach l'mincha gedola. Suda ketana, you may start up until, but if you haven't reached samach l'mincha ketana yet, certainly if you haven't reached mincha ketana yet, Tosfos says that if you start a suda gedola already at mincha gedola, you're not allowed to, but if you start it, you don't have to stop, because that's what the Mishnah says, in Hischilu Ein Mafsikin. But a Suda Ketana, Tosfos says, if you started it, I would say, Samuch L'Mincha Ketana, you would have to stop that Suda when Mincha Ketana comes to Daven. So that's how Tosfos passes. The Rambam the Rambam and the Rif, as we'll see in a moment, paskin like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. They say that the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to start a Suda Gedola, even Samoch Lamincha Gedola. And if that's the case, you're obviously not allowed to start a Suda Kitana. You're not allowed to start a Suda Kitana, Samoch Lamincha Gedola, because it might turn into a Suda Gedola. Obviously, you're not allowed to start a Suda Kitana before Mincha Kitana, and obviously you can't start a Suda Gedola before Mincha Gedola or Mincha Kitana. That's pretty obvious. In other words, for the Rambam, the Rif, Pasuk like Rav Acha bar Yaakov means that everything is prohibited. The only details that are left open, and I don't know if they explicitly state it, but we'll read the Shulchan Aruch. I haven't digested it in my mind, is what we do know for the Rambam and the Rif is that if you start a Suda Kitana, Samuch Lamincha Gedola, even though you're not allowed to, you don't have to stop. But it's an open question, because that's the Mishnah's case for them. But it remains an open question. What happens if you start a Suda Gedola? Samuch Lamincha Gedola. According to the Rambam and the Rif, would you have to stop when Mincha Gedola came? You can't prove anything from the Mishnah, because they are reading the Mishnah in the most stringent and narrow fashion, which is, even a Suda Kitana, you can't start before Mincha Gedola. But the Mishnah says, if you started, you don't have to stop. But maybe that permission, that leniency, only applies to a Suda Kitana. Now, once you're saying that the Mishnah is not talking about a Suda Gedola, then the leniency of a Schilu Emafsikin might not apply. It might be limited to a Suda Kitana before Mincha Gedola. You also don't know what the story would be if you started a Suda Kitana already Samuch LeMincha Kitana. Would you have to stop when Mincha Kitana came? Because maybe the Mishnah's leniency is only if you started at Samuch LeMincha Gedola or after, but before you reach the period of Samuch LeMincha Kitana. Okay. So anyway, so those are the possibilities that remain open. So I'm not going to try to plow through the Shulchan Aruch now. It will take a little bit too long. What I will tell you is that the Rama's opinion is apparently the minhag, according to the Rama, was to adopt two leniencies that are in contradiction with one another. The Rama says that, number one, there are those who say that you're allowed to start a Suda Gedola, Samach LaMincha Gedola, and that you're allowed to start a Suda, now those who say you're allowed to start a Suda Kitana, even Samach LaMincha Kitana. And the Rama says we follow both leniencies. However, we will explore next week sort of what are all the opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, how the Rama defends a practice that should be indefensible, because aside from it being extremely lenient, they're two mutually exclusive positions in terms of how you read the Gemara. So we will explore that next week and sort of reach that conclusion, and then come back to Brachos. Sure.